Okay. Well, it's great to have everybody, and we're gonna have an opportunity. I think because of the leap year, leap year. We're gonna have an opportunity to hit some of the parshiyos we don't always hit as we move along.
Later.
Yes and no. Also, not because some of them usually together, but okay. But we'll do as far as we can. Okay, so let's start right from the beginning. We're gonna talk about an idea that is. Or a question that is raised relatively frequently, I think, when it comes to Parshas Behar. A lot of times, Parshas Behar gets ignored a little because it's always usually paired with Bichu Kosai, and then everyone talks about the Tochacha, right, the rebuke. So this now, Behar is by itself, and this year, and Behar is, you know, begins with a conversation about the halachos of Shemitah, right? Let's get right in there. Oh, I forgot. I did it again. I didn't translate the first section. I apologize. Okay, so we'll read it together. We're not going to get so far in the weeds in this, but let's get started. Source number one: Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Behar Sinai Limor. We're starting right from the beginning of Parshas Behar, and says the Torah: Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to Jewish people, Vamar Taleim, and say to them: Ki Savo Ela Aretz. When you go into the land Hashem, you know, Sein Lachem Vishav Soha Aretz Shabbos LaHashem. When you go into the land that I'm going to give to you. The land should have Shabbos.
Everybody's entitled to a Shabbos.
Everyone's entitled to Shabbos. Not just people are entitled to Shabbos. Not just our animals are entitled to Shabbos. But you're not allowed to work your animals on Shabbos. And even the land is entitled to Shabbos. So does that mean Shabbos once a week? No. All right, but it's also another one out of seven, yeah?
Are we sure we're not saying the land is entitled to a week?
Shabbos. So we good? Good. Okay, good. So let's see. Let's see what it says. Shei shanim tizra sadecha. For 6 years, you should plant your field. And for 6 years, you shall prune your vineyard. And you can collect everything that comes in that, all the produce that comes there. And in the seventh year, what should you do? Shabbat, yel aretz. Sabbatical year, right? People call the word sabbatical, right? It'll be a Shabbos, Yel Aretz, for the land, Shabbat LaHashem. It's not just a Shabbat for the land, but it's a Shabbos for God also. Sadecha lo tizra, v'chamrecha lo tizmor. So what should you do? You shouldn't plant your field, and you should not prune your vineyard, okay? And we're going to give him further. So that means I can't do any work on the land. I can't do what I usually do, right? I can't harvest. I can't plant. I can't prune. I can't do all the things that I need to do to make the produce grow. Fine.
What if something is left over? Can you still tizmor?
What do you mean if it's left over?
Suppose left from the previous
year. The previous year, yeah. So things that grow from the previous year that we're allowed to use. But we'll talk. Yeah, we'll get to some of it. Okay, and then it continues. At sefiach kitzicha lo tigzor, you cannot harvest, right? Ves inveni zerecha lo tigzor, and you cannot harvest even your grapes. Shana shabbat on yelarit. So not only am I not allowed to work the land, I'm not even allowed to harvest the crop. Okay. Vaisa shabbat aretz lachem lochla. And it should be the Shabbos of the land should be for you to eat, for yourself, for your slaves, for your maidservants, for your people who work in your field, people who live in your land. And who can eat it? Everybody can eat it. Right? Why can everybody eat it? You're not allowed to harvest any of your produce, but anyone can eat it. Why? Because none of it belongs to anybody. Okay, so what ends up happening is that during the Shemitah year, I have this acres and acres and acres of land, and what do? I'm not allowed to touch it. I can't do any work on the land with some very small exceptions. I can do no work on the land. Anything that grows in it, I'm not allowed to harvest. However, it's for anyone who would like to eat. So what happened is, literally, like my kids have one of these, like, you know, those like parsha books. They have like this, like they put signs on the entrances to all of the fields that say, come on in. It doesn't belong to me. It's for anyone to eat. Anyone could come in. You could grab an apple, an orange, or whatever you want and go take it. And so people would still eat the produce, but you wouldn't allow to work the land. That's Shemitah in a nutshell.
What
yes?
about your domesticated animals? Are you allowed to let them go in there?
They're allowed to go in and eat, yes. They can go
you
eat.
You know, knowing, you know, but in, you're directing them.
You're directing them there, yeah. You're, yeah, that you can do. Yeah, and there's specific halachos how to, like, you know, how to make it not a face. Yeah, but how to make it not circumvent it, whatever, yeah. But yes. But the bottom line is that what's supposed to happen in Shemitah is nobody works the field for the entire year, and nobody, and that includes even harvesting things like the crop that comes, and that crop is left for anybody who'd like his hefker. Anyone can take it. Fine. Okay.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but how many farms now in Eretz Yisrael are left for Shemitah? Like, I see ads like support the farmers right. during Shemitah, but
yes.
So, like, do you know what
the I don't know what their percentages are, but what you're referencing, right, is the fact that this is incredibly difficult halacha. We're going to talk about that as we move along. It's incredibly difficult. You're basically telling somebody, don't go to work for a year.
And if it's a leap year, does that extend the Shemitah by an extra month?
Whoa, good question.
Wow.
I don't know. I have no idea. That's a great question. Does the leap year extend the Shemitah year?
I feel like it should.
In theory, it should. I don't know. I don't know if it's a 12-month thing. Mm-hmm. It's a year thing, usually. Yeah, presumably it does. I never even thought about that as like having an impact on people's parnasa, how that would work.
It's like Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah.
It is, yeah. It's not a month thing.
Yeah.
Like I'll give you a different example. Lahavdil, in Avelus, someone's in Avel, so for 12 months, so the leap year doesn't impact their Avelus, because that's based on months. Mm-hmm. Right, 12 months. So you have people who if they're in Avel during a leap year, so they'll actually sometimes, the 12 months will be over, and the Yartzeit is not for another month. So that's because the month, it's based on the month. Shemitah is dependent on the year, so presumably the answer is it does extend it, but that's a great question.
You only said for 11 months, you know.
Yeah, that's something else, yeah. So what happened? What happened was when we went back to Eretz Yisrael, you know, in the early 1900s, so the idea of keeping Shemitah was almost impossible, right? If they would keep Shemitah, they knew that the entire economy would break down. So there were many who introduced this thing called the Heta Mechira, right? That they would sell the land to a non-Jew, and then it's not their land, etc. There's a whole workaround. Some found it okay, including Rav Kook, who was supportive. Others were very upset with the idea of the Heta Mechira, and the other ways to manage. But there are farmers today who don't use the Heta Mechira, and they actually leave their lands, and they come to America, and they talk about Shemitah, and they make money speaking, whatever. But that's what Jenny's talking about. But yes, okay. So I don't know what percentage. I think probably, you know, a minority, I think, but I'm not positive. It's a good question.
When I was there during the Shemitah year, I only saw like the big signs and things like that when I was driving like all the way up north.
A lot of the places they use Heta Mechira, and a lot of places they do still. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that becomes the whole question. Hashkachas are confusing right. enough in Israel. And then during the Shemitah year, it's even more confusing. You know, how do you find it? But okay. All right, but the question I want to deal with today is a very specific detail with how this halacha is taught. Okay? Take a look at, because there's something unique about the introduction of this mitzvah. What's unique about it?
Bahar Sinai.
Yeah. Bahar Sinai. Right? Usually it says, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. Right? That's not what it says. It says, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. I'll ask you an even further question.
It originated way back at
what?
Matanto. Oh. It originated back in Matanto.
Okay, good.
Did
all the mitzvahs originate?
Is this the only time this language is used?
It is not the only time. It's not the only time.
So you taught us to ask that question.
What, is it the only time?
Yeah, is that
the only time? I don't think, I'm almost positive that's not the only. It could be I'm wrong. We should check the Bar-Ilan. But it's very, very rare. But if it's not the only time, then it's going to cause us problems. So let's see. Maybe it is the only time. I should say it is the only time. Yeah, you should get a concordancia. Do you have it?
I love a concordancia.
Go. Go check. Good. Go, Alana, go. Go.
Do you know where it is?
I think it's right there, no? Look, straight back.
Where the...
To the right.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. To the right. Red. The red book. Yeah, right next to your hand.
Is this the reason why?
If you went to high school, when we went to high school, then you still use the concordancia. Sure. Now they for sure do not even know what it is.
Really?
A concordancia? What?
Use
an altura. Yeah, you don't need it. You don't need it. Exactly. So when we were kids, we used the concordance. I know exactly where it was, in the high school library in Maimonides. Okay, fine. So that's A. Why Bahar Sinai anymore? That's Aleph. And Beis, even if you tell me Bahar Sinai anymore, we've left Har Sinai. Right? We're not doing Har Sinai anymore. Right? Har Sinai is way in the past already, right? So what are we talking Har Sinai? Right? Why are we heading there now? What are you talking about? Okay? Good. So we're not the only ones who asked the question. Alana, when you find out, let us know. Yeah. We're not the only ones who asked the question. Okay, take a look at source number two. Rashi asked this question. And a lot of people ask this question. Yeah. Rashi says, Bahar Sinai, says Rashi, Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzah Har Sinai. Translated as, what does it have to do with the cost of tea in China?
What's the
deal? Right, that's what people, right? Yeah, correct. That's the English version, right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, right? That's like, right? What? Meaning, what are you talking about? This has become a colloquial phrase. Like, Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzah Har Sinai. Like, well, yeah, well, who cares? Like, what's one after the other, right? But the point being, who said, yeah, okay, Shemitah, Vayidaber Hashem, Amal Shalim, Bahar Sinai, more, Shemitah. Okay, what are you teaching me, Shemitah? Specifically, Shemitah has to do with Har Sinai. V'halo kol ha-mitzvos nemru b'Sinai. I thought Moshe Rabbeinu was told the entire Torah at Har Sinai. So, what's going on here? Ella answers Rashi, Ma Shemitah nemru kalaloseh upratoseh v'diktukeh m'Sinai. So, just like by Shemitah, all of the general principles and the specifics and the details, all of them were taught at Sinai. Af kula nemru kloseim v'diktukeim v'Sinai. So too, all of the mitzvos, every detail, was taught at Har Sinai. Kach shenuya b'taras kohanim. That's what it says in the Medrash. Fine. So very nice, right? So just like I have all the details of this mitzvah taught at Har Sinai, so I can. It's not just Shemitah. It's tell me Shemitah, but it refers to everything. Anyone have a problem with that? Or concern regarding that explanation?
Well, like, why isn't it like that with every single mitzvah?
Bingo. What? Who? Great. So just like Shemitah had all of those details taught to me at Har Sinai, so do all the mitzvahs taught at Har Sinai. So what's the question? So why is Shemitah the example? Right? Teach me, I don't know, tzitzis, Shabbos, whatever other mitzvah you want. Why is Shemitah the example? Right, of the mitzvah that has all of its details learned at Sinai, and so too every other mitzvah in the Torah. Why is you Shemitah? Okay, I get it. It's just one example of everything. But then what, you have 613 possible choices of
and
examples.
It's never again mentioned in Chumash?
Shemitah? It is mentioned
no,
other places.
Bahar
Sinai?
Specific. Yeah, Bahar.
Oh, what do you got?
Okay, so far, in Vayikra Zion,
yes.
Are they still there? Because it does say in Vayikra Zion, which is Parsha... Oh, that's right.
Tzav.
So in Tzav,
what does it say? What's
it
supposed to say?
Very end. Asher Tzivah
Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai. Okay, fine. But that's not by the Be'er Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai anymore.
Okay, so I'll keep going.
Okay, good. Good, okay. If you want to wait, I don't want you to miss the whole shiur looking it up.
No,
but.
I'm listening.
Okay, good. Okay.
I'm doing this slowly because
okay. Okay, fine.
She's a girl. Now.
She? Yeah, sorry. She can multitask. Sorry. It's literally the truth. It is. I can't do it. So count me as one guy who can't multitask. Okay. Venerally. So Rashi wants to give a little explanation. Venerally, shakach perusha. This is the explanation. Levisha lamatsinu shmitas karkos shenishnes ba'arvos moav the Mishnah Torah. What we don't find. We never find the halachos of Shemitah taught later on, right? We have a repetition of mitzvos in Sefer Bamidbar. Devarim. Devarim is referred to, actually, the nickname for Sefer Devarim is Mishnah Torah. The Rambam got thousands of times later. Deuteronomy. Right. The Mishnah Torah meaning repeats, because there are a lot of rehashes in Devarim, but they're not all rehashes. There are some new mitzvos. So it's not totally true, but it is generally a rehash, right? So Shemitah is not taught there, Ba'arvos Moav there, by Mishnah Torah. Lamalu, so what do we see? Sheklaloseh upratoseh kula nemru miSinai. Meaning, because Shemitah is one example of a mitzvah that was never repeated, so how do you know? So meaning, the mitzvahs that are repeated later, so maybe some of those details were really taught later. But this one was taught specifically at Sinai and only at Sinai, and never again. Okay. Uba kasul v'lamad kan al kol dibor shenidab v'lamoshim miSinai hayukulam klalosem v'tikuken v'chazu v'nishni barvos. So I want to say when it, so just like Shemitah, which wasn't repeated, all the mitzvahs were learned at Sinai. So too, even the ones that are repeated later, everything really was taught at Sinai. Okay, you like that?
Yeah.
Nah, Rona, why is that no, why is that no good? Tell Rashi. Why is it no good? I'm kidding. Not Rashi's no good. But what is it about? Frustrating.
Who's going to challenge Rashi?
It's okay. You can challenge Rashi. We're all going to challenge Rashi. Challenge Rashi.
Like, is this the only example of a mitzvah?
Yeah, come on. This is the only mitzvah that's not repeated in Sefer Torah. It's not the only mitzvah. So what does Rashi mean to say? It's an example of mitzvahs that are not repeated later. But that's not going to make us feel enough. Yeah. That's why it's source number two. Not source number 12. Right, good. Okay, good.
Okay, Rabbi, I'll just...
Yes?
There's just two more.
Okay. Yes?
So one of them is in Bamidbar.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I just lost it. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do the second to last one. No, it's right here in the beginning.
Yeah?
In the beginning, in Bamidbar Par Gimel, it says, Ve'ila toldot Aaron Moshe be'yom diber Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai.
Okay, still not by diber Hashem b'har Sinai.
It's still not exactly the same. Okay, good. Fine. And then the other one, I guess, is the same idea. It's also like...
Yeah, still not. Okay, good. Excellent. Good. So the answer is yes. This is the only time the Torah says, good. Thank you, Alana, for confirming for us. This is the only place where the Torah says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemur. Okay, so now it makes the question much better. Only time. Good. Excellent. Good. Or Chaim HaKadosh, number two. By the way, the Or Chaim is always referred to, he's one of the Rishonim, but he's always called Or Chaim HaKadosh. Why is he called HaKadosh? Because he was a Kabbalist. Anyone who's a Kabbalist, they get that what do you call it? That
distinction.
Title, distinction, whatever, called HaKadosh. So Or Chaim is always called HaKadosh because he was known as a... Yeah, that whatever, yeah. You guys, we should get the thesaurus to the class also. But yes, he's called HaKadosh. But it says Or Chaim. Tzarech Ladas. Lama Hizkir Har Sinai b'mitzvazu. There's two different questions we're going to see a little bit. They're not the same question, but related. Some ask, like, this furthered question, like, why specifically choose Shemitah as the example, right? That all the details will learn in Sinai. And others just ask a different question, like, why mention Sinai at all, right? By this mitzvah. Why specifically choose? But similar question. Okay? V'hagam sh'rabbosenu amru ki l'lamed ba sh'kola mitzvos nemru klausen partosan b'sinai. Even though some want to say this idea, like we just said before, adayin yesh makom b'shalatenu. Lam lo b'limitzeh ala b'mitzvah zu, b'diyuk. Why specifically this one? V'lo b'mitzvah rishona or acharona. Again, why choose Shemitah? So he says the following. V'ulai ki l'tzad shehizkir matnas ha'aretz. There's a mention here of the giving of the land, d'chziv, asher ani nosein. Dictate Lomar Bahar Sinai. So therefore, specifically mentions Har Sinai. What is he talking about? Look back in source number one. Pasuk Bet. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amar talayem ki savo el aretz asher ani nosein lachem b'shav sa'ar shabas l'ashem. What could the pasuk have just said? Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amar talayem ki savo el aretz b'shav sa'ar shabas l'ashem. Why does he say asher ani nosein lachem?
Hashem
gave to you. Why mention that Hashem gave it to you? There's many times when Hashem says, when you kisavo, there's a parsha called kisavo al arts. Mm-hmm. Kisavo, right? We have lots of times in the Torah, says many times, we could look up how many, where the Torah says that when you're going to go into the land, and it doesn't always say, Hashem, you know, sein lachem that I'm giving to you. So what's the point? There's a mention that the land is being specifically given to us. Therefore, we add also the idea of Har Sinai. Why? Lomar, ki machmas Har Sinai. It's only because of Har Sinai. Perish ma shekiblu bo. Right? Meaning the fact that we got the Torah. He shenigmara hamatana. That was the closing of the gift. You weren't going to get Eretz Yisrael without Har Sinai. The two are inextricably linked, right? They are fundamentally connected. Har Sinai and Eretz Yisrael. And one cannot go without the idea of going to Eretz Yisrael. Why just stay in Eretz? Forget Har Sinai. Just stay in Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people, as a people who have a piece of land without a Torah, is zero. Right? It doesn't go. It doesn't work. And by the way, a Torah without the land also doesn't go. Right? We're not finished.
A little
anti-Zionist.
No, the opposite.
Well, no, oh, it's anti. Know. It's anti.
You could say, what are you making
right.
a Medina?
Zionist without religion. Good. Yes. Right. What's that? I would say it's a religious Zionist argument. Right. Right. Be more positive.
But you could see how someone.
Yes. 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 It. Correct. That was part of the argument. What do you do? Yeah. By the way, that argument is a real argument. Yeah. With Zionism without religion. What is it? Go to the Congo. Go to Congo, like they want us to. Go to Zimbabwe. Go to wherever. Like going to Eretz Yisrael without Torah. What is it? Right. What's that going to be? Okay, so we'd argue if you go to Eretz Yisrael and you build the land, you're going to bring Torah's going to come, which is not what happened. But that's part of the kasha. But the point is, answer our question. Why Bahar Sinai more specifically when it comes to Shemitah? for Shemitah is going to be, right, that mitzvah we keep. It's the ultimate mitzvah that's kept in Eretz Yisrael. And so when you come to Lein Hashina, and you know, Sein Lachem, V'shav Sa'ar, Shabbat Salashem, we're going to find there's also lots of Amarim Chazal, that one of the reasons why Am Yisrael gets kicked out of Eretz Yisrael is because we don't keep Shemitah. Right? Shemitah is like the fundamental mitzvah related to our connection to the land. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's why there are those who are so fundamentally opposed to the Het Mechira, for that reason. Because it's so fundamental, right? Torah, Sinai, and Eretz Yisrael, right? And Sinai and Eretz Yisrael. And what's that link? The link is Shemitah. Hashem Yinosein Lachem. Fine.
Can I just ask very quickly?
Yes.
So take away all the mitzvah that have to do with the Beit HaMikdash.
Right.
Take away all of those.
Right.
The ones that are left is just Shemitah?
No, Shumas and Maestros and other things also. Orla. There are other mitzvahs.
But that's agricultural.
Orla is not. But yeah, you're right. You're right. A lot. You're right. Your point being that most of it,
like it shechem peah
applies in Eretz Yisrael without a Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.
Without a Beis HaMikdash, but yeah. I'm saying it just applies in Eretz Yisrael. Like, is that strange?
Yes. Yes. Right. These are all what we call mitzvahs of Tzlius Ba'aretz. They all depend on Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot.
Shemitah is the number one.
But Shemitah is like, I don't know. We have to see. Let's see as we move along if we get a better answer to that question.
There are others.
Okay, yeah.
So would you say all mitzvahs were not created equal?
I would say that we don't know which are better than others, but there's a certain fundamental connection between Shemitah and the Eretz Yisrael and Har Sinai. Fine. I think it's a nice answer. Okay. Look at the Kli Yakar. Source number four. Kli Yakar and source number four. Okay. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'Har Sinai lemor. Ma'ina Shemitah Yitzhar Sinai. Okay, so again, you're going to find this everywhere. I couldn't bring you all of them. I could only bring us enough that we only have 15 minutes. Karov l'shmoa. Kisha'ala Moshe al Har Sinai. It's you know, you could hear, right? That Moshe went up on Har Sinai. Acha shiva shavuos. Shesafru Yisrael arbaim v'tisha yom. Min Pesach al Atzeres. Okay, ready? Here we go. This is a cool, fun math game for a second, right? Oh. It's not that, don't worry, it's not that difficult. It works for me, so it can't be that hard. So the Am Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. Second day already that they're starting to leave, they start counting Sfiras Omer. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that actually the very first Sfiras Omer, Am Yisrael asked Moshe Rabbeinu, where are we going? He says, Hashem told me, Tavdu Nesalakim HaHarazeh, you're going to go to that, to mountain, Har Sinai. And they said, Masai, when?
Are we there yet?
Yeah, are we there yet? He said, Od Tishva Arbaim Yom, 49 days. He didn't command them to count yet. And says Aruch HaShulchan, they went home and they started to count to Har Sinai. 1, 2, 3. Beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. The only thing I mentioned in Aruch HaShulchan. I've never seen anywhere else. So he says that's the first counting, but the first Sfiras Omer. So they started counting 49 days. And on the 50th day, what happened? Got the Torah. Where? Har Sinai. Everyone's like, got to try? Yeah, Har Sinai. You know the answer. You all know the answer. At Har Sinai, right? They got the Torah. Saying, Moshe goes up the mountain after 7 countings of 7 weeks. Yes? 49 days. Day 50, he goes up on the mountain, gets the Torah, and he goes up, and he stays up there. And then it's 40 days, 40 nights. We have 49s, we have 40s, we have 7s, we have 8. That's what he does. Good. Okay. Good. Niskadesh as Osohar. So what was the rule about Har Sinai that day? The day of Matan Torah. There were certain rules about Har Sinai. We talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
They had to make a boundary around. You couldn't go up on the mountain. You couldn't even touch the mountain. Right. You certainly couldn't. Work so right. You couldn't use the mountain at all. Okay, so check it out. Niskadesh as oto osohar. The har became kadosh. V'nesar bezria v'charisha b'yom chamishim shabonin natorah. And that day, Har Sinai had a din of shmita on it. Cool, right? V'huzman meshichas hayovel likro dror v'chovshi l'chol Yisrael chirus aluchos. And what happens on the 50th year? Oh, Shemitah. You go through this cycle of 7, 7, 7, 49. The 49th year is Shemitah. And then there's another one, the 50th year called Yovel. On that Yovel, what do? We blow the
shofar.
And we let everyone go free, right? Slaves go free, all land goes free. Okay, what happened at the 50th day at Har Sinai? The land, the you're not allowed to use the har that day. What sound emanates from Har Sinai? The kol shofar. Very cool, right? And it sets everyone free. What happens to Am Yisrael at Har Sinai? we're set free. What's called freedom? And a person who's really free is a person who, a free person, a person who has the opportunity to learn Torah, to be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's freedom, to make good choices, right? And it's called Cherus al Haluchos. And we also say that the Luchos were Charus, they were carved out. And the Gemara says, don't say Lashon Charus ala Cherus, right? Because it gives freedom to people. Okay? Va'al yidei kol shofar shamatan Torah, and with the sound of the shofar, the matan Torah, ba'osu zman, he gives Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe inyan hashmita v'hayovel. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu learn right then at Har Sinai? The halachas of shmita and yovel. Lomar, shebimisbar sheva ubimisbar arbayim v'tisha, with the counting of 7 and the counting of 49. And you know, saying Kedusha zu, the same Kedusha that Har Sinai has, I'm giving it where? Eretz Yisrael. Sinai and Eretz Yisrael. Sinai and Shemitah. They're totally connected. Sheyesh ladim yom v'yichus im har Sinai mitzad hayosa avira demachkim. What is Eretz Yisrael? What do you say about Eretz Yisrael? That if you go to, someone goes to Eretz Yisrael, and they're now all of a sudden they're able to learn better, they feel connected to Yibon Shalom more. Why can you say avira de Eretz Yisrael machkim, the literally the air of Eretz Yisrael? It makes someone wise. It has an impact on you. Being in the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, just like, right, just like the avira of Har Sinai, which had the same impact. Ve'ein Torah k'daras Eretz Yisrael v'Har Sinai, and there's no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael and the Torah of Har Sinai. Both are places that have an unusually potent power to impact us in Limud Torah. Al Kain, royally tain gam la'aretz hahi kedushas Har Sinai, and that's why we give Eretz Yisrael the same kedusha as Har Sinai. After 49 years, you culminate on the 50th year, just like we had the 50th day at Har Sinai. And same thing with every group of 7. Fine. So I just think this is super interesting. I've never seen this before.
Beautiful.
Very beautiful. And that what Ma'in and Shemitah Eitz Har Sinai, what do you mean? What's the question even? Shemitah and Har Sinai are the same thing. It was the same exact process that took place with Har Sinai, which had a special place with Kedusha specifically, and thematically it fits with the shofar, etc., to make it a place that is specifically ready for us for learning and to be connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So too, the Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael has the same exact ability. We're going to see an idea that actually connects to this, I just realized it now as we're talking, even more, as we see it a little bit later. Yeah.
We won't answer it, but it makes us wonder, why is Har Sinai not in Israel, though? Why is it Dafka outside?
Outside, why do we not know where it is?
Yeah, like
Har Sinai actually has no Kedusha at all anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Soloveitchik has a whole discussion about the difference between Har Sinai and Har Moriah.
Right.
And what's the difference between Har Moriah is where the Beis HaMikdash is.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you quickly what he says. He says the difference is that Har Sinai was a place where Hashem brought the Kedusha by himself, and we did nothing. Har Moriah is a place where we sacrifice for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? When there's a place where human beings act and do for Hashem, Kedusha remains. Places that Hashem just shows up and does a song and dance, Chalila, not a Chalila dance, you know what I mean, but just does something miraculous on his own, Kedusha doesn't stay. Kedusha stays when man actively involves himself in connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Through our sacrifice, through our hard work, through our Mesiris Nefesh, that brings Kedusha to a place that never ever leaves. It's a very nice idea.
Yeah.
But why is it not that way by Har Sinai? I can't answer, but he makes that distinction at least for Har Sinai. Okay, good. So, good. If you like the Kli Yakar, then you can go now, I guess. No, I'm kidding. But take a look. We're going to run out of time. Okay. What do I want to skip?
Not
five. All right, take a look at 5. Take a look at number 5. What? We have time. Okay, I know, but I have another thing at the end that I want to share with you. Rav Hirsch writes in number 5, something I think also really interesting. Okay? This emphasis on the Sinaitic origin, not only of the laws, but also of their details, and the fact that this is stated in the Torah precisely here, in connection with the laws of Shemitah, may be explained on the basis of the juxtaposition of the law of Shemitah to the section of the Megadev. Who is the Megadev? The Megadev is the person who curses Hashem. It's a story that's found at the way end. It's the last story in Parshas Emor.
Yeah.
Okay? The last story in Parshas Emor is about this person who, in giving very few details, right? But that basically he's rejected in some way. He has no place to be. The Mefarshim explained that he's the son of a Jewish woman and an Egyptian father, and he has no shevet, and so he has no place to live. And he's treated somewhat, it seems, maybe not so respectfully. And he comes out and he curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He curses people with God's name, right? And he is killed in that moment. Okay, he's killed. But there's something unique about how the Megadev is killed. When he's first killed, and I think he's going to talk about this in a second.
That word is a very uncommon word, isn't it?
Megadev? Yeah, it means to curse. To curse. To blaspheme, as they say. To blaspheme. Which you want to know what to blaspheme means, I'm like, just translate to Hebrew, it'd be easier. It's like phylacteries. Yeah. It's filling our phylacteries. Filling my phylacteries. Why didn't you say so? Okay, so keep on. So let's read it. Why? For precisely in the section of the Megadev, we encounter the reverse case. Okay, what do we mean? At most, the general principle of the mitzvah was stated at Sinai. But the details, pratoteha, v'tikdukeha, were not known at all. How do I know that the details weren't found there? In that story, what do they do? After he curses God, they come to Moshe and say, Moshe, what do we do with this guy? He used Hashem's name to curse somebody. Moshe says, I don't know, gotta ask God. I thought you learned it all at Har Sinai. Right? So take a look. So, and when the case occurred, it was necessary to seek a special proclamation from God. They put him in jail to wait, to find out what to do. The nature and subject of this mitzvah are most remarkable, particularly when compared with Shemitah and its subject. The transgressions discussed in chapter 24 is the worst crime imaginable, cursing God, right? And the subject of the crime is the only one who is independent of time and space. It's the subject of Hashem, present everywhere and at all times, so that anyone can sin against him at any time and in any place. One might therefore have argued, if even a law such as this one, concerning blasphemy, was not revealed in its entirety at Sinai, again, it's immediately applicable, right? It's about Hashem, and it can happen anywhere, right? And that, you didn't have the details? But only when the need actually arose, how much more should this be so in the case of Shemitah and the like? Because Shemitah is not going to take place until what? So you get to Eretz Yisrael, and then you got to count 7 years. It's going to be a long time from now, right? They didn't know it was going to be a real long time from then. They thought it was going to be soon, but they didn't know yet. They're going to be waiting around for 40 years, right? After all, when the law of Shemitah was first given, and for many years thereafter, Israel was not dwelling in its land. Thus, the very subject of the mitzvah did not yet exist. Later, too, the land would not be available for hundreds, perhaps even thousands of years, meaning when we wouldn't be able to use it. Why should one imagine that such a mitzvah was revealed in entirety in Sinai? The Torah therefore stresses precisely in the section on Shemitah and Yovel, which follows the section of the Megadev, that although in the case of the Megadev, detailed instructions for the implementation of the law had to be sought from Hashem when they were needed, the details of all the other mitzvahs, including those applicable only to specified times and places like Shemitah, were revealed in their entirety at Sinai. So just an interesting way of, there's different, Mepharshim always have different ways of going after an answer, right? So one is, look where it's placed, right? And here it's placed by a mitzvah that has all of its details clearly not delineated in Sinai. So what does Hashem do? He teaches, puts another mitzvah right next to it, which has all of its details delineated, and that's when Chazal pick up, Shemitah, right? Not Shemitah, because Shemitah is particularly special. It's special because it's going to be a delay till we ever use it. But it's more given as an example of a mitzvah that won't be used until much later, and nevertheless, we're taught all of its details were given in Sinai. And first, then ask the question, so that's true, then why was the case of the Megadev? Why did they have to wait? So he explains, because it's such a terrible avera that we didn't even want to have to talk about it, like it shouldn't even happen, do we just deal with it when it arrives, etc. But nevertheless, interesting, it's just a different way of going about it. You take a mitzvah, and you want to understand why it's taught in a certain way, well, look at where it's placed. Right? Use context. Okay, I'm going to skip to the last point that I want to make, because I want to make sure we have time for it, even though we have a beautiful idea from the Oznan Torah that we may not get to. We'll see. But I want to share with you one more idea. And this idea is actually very connected to the idea that we saw in the Kli Yakar. This idea was told to me originally by Rabbi Menachem Mermelstein. Rabbi Menachem Mermelstein is now a graduate of Smicha, of Ritz, and NYU. But at the time when he told me the idea, I think he was still a student. And I thought it was a very, very beautiful idea. I think he might be in the Kol Elyon now in NYU. And said the following very, very, very nice connection, which I think it's true because you see it in so many places that comes out, this idea is true. And he notes the following. if you want to understand the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai, then you have to understand more about the fundamental nature of each of these things. Okay, the laws of Shemitah, right, the idea of taking the entire year off from work, has two fundamental goals, right? So on the one hand, we said that Shemitah is called Shabbat LaHashem, right? So take a look how Svorno, in source number 8, look how he explains it, Shabbat LaHashem. He says Shabbat LaHashem, source number 8, Shetiyah Kol HaShana B'Tela. I mean, it shouldn't be Shabbat LaHashem, it's Shabbat for the worker. It's Shabbat for the land. Why is it Shabbat for Hashem? Hashem's not taking a break. So what's the answer? It's not Shabbat for Hashem, it's Shabbat to be dedicated to Hashem, right? Shetiyah Kol HaShana HaBetela Me'avodas HaAdama Mukhenes LaAvodaso. The goal of Shemitah, we call it take a sabbatical. That's where it comes from. It comes from here. Take a sabbatical. It was a sabbatical, right? Mukhenes LaAvodaso Kamosha Kivim B'Shabbos Bracious Bramro Shabbos LaHashem Elokecha. It's the same exact language. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is not just a chance to chill out and relax. Shabbos is a chance to refocus. Right? It's our one opportunity each week to get rid of the rest of the world, to shut off our phones, and to get the rest of the world out of our heads. Right? We don't go to work. We don't involve ourselves with anything else. And we just spend our time. Mevos Hashem. That's the idea. That's why people go to shul. That's why we have base medrash, which we have learning. Right? It's supposed to be a day of focusing on Avodas Hashem. And so too, that's once a week, right? And for the farmer, that would be once out of, not one out of 7 days, but one out of 7 years, which is dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Because you can't do anything else. You're not allowed. So what do? You learn. You learn. You focus on Avodas Hashem. Fine. Fine. So on the one hand, Shabbos provides that opportunity to put work aside and to focus on our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But there's another purpose to Shemitah also, right? We mentioned that what happens? The land becomes Hefker, right? So that all of a sudden, those who have a lot and those who have very little have the same. They both have nothing.
Nothing.
Both have nothing, right? Everything becomes even Stephen all of a sudden, right? The ultimate example of this is Yovel, where slaves go free and ancestral lands return to their Shevet, right? To the original families. Right, so it's a time of an equalizer economically also, right? So it's a chance to, you know, pay attention to my relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's also an equalizer in our relationships with other people, right? So it has those two goals at the same time, okay? But if that's true, then there's one unifying message of Shemitah, right? Then each and every single Jewish person has a role to play in Am Yisrael. I'm focusing on my role in Am Yisrael, my Avodas Hashem, and I do it with everybody else who is the same as me all of a sudden, right? And it's like this unifying moment where we're all the same, and when we're all the same, what happens all of a sudden? We can relate to each other much better, right? And we can connect to each other much better. Right? So in that sense, what does Shemitah do once every 7 years? It's like, and it's hard to do it all the time, right? We need these reminders every once in a while that, wait a second, we are all connected. We do need each other, which we know this right now, right? We've had the last 7 months to do that for us, right? Remind us that we need each other and we're all the same and fundamentally we're all connected and fundamentally there's no real difference between us. And that's what Shemitah does. It's not just a Shabbat LaHashem, a Shabbat dedicated to Hashem, but it's also an opportunity to recognize our connection to each other. If that's true, how does Shemitah connect to Har Sinai? What is the Indian of Har Sinai?
We all stood there together.
We show up at Har Sinai, and what are we told? We stood Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Vayichan Lashon Yachid. We come together. Rashi says Rashi Ki Ishecha B'Lev Echad, which is like nice, a very nice, beautiful Dvar Torah. But it's also the fundamental nature of what Har Sinai was supposed to do. It was supposed to do the same thing to remind every member of there wasn't like premium seating and you know backbench seating at Har Sinai. Everyone had the same seat. Right, we all had the same experience. We stood there together in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no right. We just all had the same recognition that we were all necessary. We were all needed, and it was a unifying moment. Right, not just because like it happened to be that we unified at Har Sinai. No, Har Sinai was a unifying experience for Klal Yisrael. We're all in this together. We're all needed. Every one of us has a role to play, and so when we do that, it gives us that sense of again an equalizer. And therefore, he wanted to argue, and again, it fits very nicely with what the Kli Yakar actually said, right? That it's that moment, it's that opportunity to recognize that we're all together in this. That's our job, right? And we do that, and we did it once at Har Sinai, so what do? We replay Har Sinai. He didn't say this part, but I think there's the Kliyaka sort of saying. We replay Har Sinai once every 7 years, where we do the same thing. And once every 50 years, we blow the shofar, etc. Slaves go free. We proclaim Dror, liberty to everybody, right? The Liberty Bell, which says that pasuk on it. That our job is to recognize that we're all in it together. And if that's true, now you get Ma'in and Shemitah Eitz Har Sinai. It's not just Shemitah and Har Sinai have to be put next to each other. It's not just that contextually they fit, but that there's actually this sense that both lend us the same message. That the best way for us to recognize just how much we need each other is when we have those reminders that we're basically all the same. We're all different, have unique jobs and roles. But that in the end of the day, when you make an economic equalizer, it allows everybody to kind of recognize their role and their place. So those are, I don't know, three or four explanations. There are more. To this, my English media
so
starts,
you're
an
anti-Zionist
and a communist. by the way, I'll tell you, mm-hmm. The Torah
is pretty.
I don't know, communist. It's pretty. It is somewhat socialist. The Torah. It is. You can't deny it. I had someone tell me this many years ago. I was like, no, it can't be. And the more I looked, the more I realized it really is. Actually, that's not a political statement. It happens to be. It's much more in that direction. Looking, requiring. Right? Doesn't capitalism says? Let people make money, and then they'll give tzedakah as they feel like it. Mm-hmm. The Torah doesn't say that, right? We do say that to a certain extent, but there's baseline expectations of us. We're probably some type of hybrid.
Yeah.
There's probably some type of a hybrid. It's not really socialism, but there's a lot of it to that, and that is true. But yeah,
New Deal-y.
Yeah.
Democrats.
When Hashem gave us the man, according to our needs.
Yes, as every person got right. Actually, it came close to you, depending on who you were. But yes, but it is part of the idea. And I think part of the idea of Shemitah and Yovel is that economic equalizer to make us have that recognition.
That's what they wanted
and
to
it's
do with the kibbutzim.
Yeah. But anyways, that is at least one of the approaches. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.